Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Overnight Success Podcast, brought to you by Maria Hatzistefanis. Maria is the founder of Rodial and Nip and Fab, best-selling author, and on a mission to help you achieve your dreams. Maria's highly anticipated third book, How to Live Your Best Life, is now available on Amazon.
Hey guys, I am in New York in my suite at the Crosby Hotel, and I am almost in bed with Luke Henderson, celebrity makeup artist to the Bravo TV show Housewives of New York. We're going to have a catch-up and a gossip about all things beauty and reality TV. Well, Luke, welcome to the Overnight Success
Thank
Podcast.
Thank you. Where do we start, Maria? Where do we start? We are in the fanciest hotel suite. I mean, I feel so comfy. There was a candle on of lavender when I arrived. I nearly got into bed. Let me tell you that. I'm just waiting for the slippers and the robe to arrive, and I'm in that bed.
We can call room service.
Call
we can get that organized.
Get them.
For you.
Is there a button by the side of the bed we can press for champagne as well, Maria? Let's do it.
Amazing. All right, so let's go to the serious stuff now.
Let's do it.
How did you get into reality TV?
So I really stumbled into reality TV by chance. So you know Caroline Stanbury, I'm sure, from London. Caroline was approached to do a TV show, very hesitant at first. And when Caroline agreed to do the TV show, it was called Ladies of London. And I naturally said to her, because I was doing her makeup and hair at the time, and I had been for like a couple of years before, who will be doing your hair and makeup for the TV show? And she said, to be honest, I've not really thought about it. So Caroline has always known me for doing hair and makeup. Years before, I'd been in kind of TV and musical theatre in London, in the West End. So anyway, fast forward, Caroline said to me one day, hey, they're filming me. She played it down. Maybe she didn't know, but she was very good at playing it down. They're filming me tomorrow. They'd really love me to be filmed doing my hair and makeup. And you can be on camera with me. And I said, okay, sure. So Caroline had only known me for, when I say only, had known me for doing hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. And Caroline then saw me get rigged up to the kind of microphone, go on camera. And for me, that's all I'd known from the age of like 10 through to the age of 26, 27, because that's what I'd done as work and as a profession. So it really felt natural for me. And it's, I find it very easy to just block out that there's a camera there or recording. It really doesn't bother me at all. So we sat down and I started asking Caroline questions. It was one of the first scenes she filmed. There was a camera on me, a camera on her. And when you start filming a TV show, the first couple of days, there's always a lot of people there, especially if it's a TV show where they pumped a lot of money in. So the production company will be there, the heads of it. They'll fly them over. So there's, you know, you're really like, really on show to see if you're going to deliver on camera. So I started asking her questions that day. She was going to, I think it was either the races or the polo. So I thought about what would the audience, what those questions on reality TV, what would the audience want to know, especially because it was for a TV audience in America and the polo is like quite a British thing. Caroline's very aristocratic and comes from that whole scene and it's different in England. And I thought the American audience would want to know, you know, how do you get into the royal enclosure? And started to ask all these questions. And of course, Caroline fires back with, you will never be able to get into the royal enclosure, basically saying I'm too common to ever even enter it. So anyway, all these kind of one-liners rolled off her tongue and vice versa. And then, I don't know, the Tate went back to LA, and within a few days, Caroline said, they want to write you into the show. And that was really how it happened. So I did Ladies of London for 3 seasons. Then I came to America. And the reality TV world with Bravo is like a real family kind of concept and has a feeling to it. So once you've worked on one show, you might bump into someone at the Bravo head office, or if you come and do Watch What Happens Live here, which is another show over here in America, which a lot of the reality stars go on because the guy who hosts it is actually the producer of the Real Housewives, Andy Cohen.
Yeah.
So you start to get to know them. And then, of course, because of doing hair and makeup, a lot of people in America, hair and makeup wise, either do hair or they do makeup. So they don't normally go from one to the other. So that was really how I came across Dorinda from Housewives of New York.
Okay.
And we met for lunch one day. After eating, we went to Bergdorf's to try on clothes. She was buying some bits. And I don't know, we just really clicked. Dorinda lived in London for 10 or 12 years. So she really understood what British society was about. She understood our TV show because it was about, you know, aristocratic kind of women, women who had moved from America with money as such, and they were trying to break into that high society. And Dorinda had lived in Chelsea and lived in an amazing area. So she really understood what our show and the kind of concept, and I don't know, we just clicked and we bounced off each other. So it went from there, really.
And that was it.
In a roundabout kind of way. And that's what brought me across.
And now you've been living in New York for how many years?
So I've been here full time for 2 years. I have another year left, and then I can either, you know, go for another visa, or I could decide on a green card. It's different over here.
Yeah.
With regard to the makeup and the hair business, it's changed, I think, in London and in New York. When I started doing hair and makeup over 10 years ago in England, and it was more than that, maybe it was more like 12 years ago, there really was no blowout bars. There were no apps you could order someone to come around for hair and makeup. Mm. So it really was, if there was someone who was lucky enough or affluent or from a background of, you know, money, the only place that they could go is to a department store. So in England, they'd go to, I don't know, Selfridges or Harrods, or they could go to get their hair blown out down the King's Road. Or if you're in New York, you know, there's Macy's, Bloomies. But that type of woman doesn't want to sit in the middle of a shop. But that was really the only option. Mm. The other option would be to call out someone like myself to come to their house, which was why 10 years ago, because there were no apps, there was no Instagram, there was no YouTube to teach yourself how to do, you know, a wingy eyeliner or how to apply a lip liner and a lipstick in the correct manner. So there really was no choice but to call someone like me. So it meant you could put, being truthful, you could really put a premium on what you were offering as your service because they were beholden to you. There was no one else to use. And of course, that business has changed over the years because now you've got YouTube, you've got Instagram. People have started to teach themselves. There's influencers, which are amazing, that show people how to, anything from putting a lash on to how to match a foundation. So it's a lot more self-taught now.
Yeah, it's a different industry. And you're right, there's a lot of apps these days. And I know you talk about those apps whenever I hear you speaking, you know, they're your nemesis.
Yeah.
Just shut them all down so Luke can get some more business. So going back to working with Dorinda, so you've been working with her for a couple of years. And I don't know how many of our listeners would know the show, but Dorinda is one of the housewives of New York, and she's been there for quite a few seasons. I have seen you in the show and some of the episodes yourselves, and I have seen Dorinda's looks. So how is it being on the set of the housewives here?
So what you have to remember, when the strange thing with reality TV now, and this can go anything from, and this was, again, has been in the last probably three to five years, reality TV is such a huge thing now. When you go on set now, it used to be that either the actress, well, or the reality TV star was the star. But now the people that are doing their hair and makeup are equally as famous because of their followers. I don't have a huge amount, and I wish I was better at posting on social media. So I apologize for anyone that's following me, and I don't post all the time. I do the odd story. I mean, I can barely send a text and send an email, let alone be posting crazy stories. But now when you go onto set of like a reality show, and I really noticed it a year ago when we did one of the reunions for Housewives. You get there, and besides those six main cast members being famous, the hair and makeup are just as famous.
In fact,
some of them have more followers than the reality stars themselves. So, you know, when I did...
So you're treated like a celebrity, that's
well,
what
they
you're
don't,
saying.
They don't really, and I think you have to know your place. Mm. You are on the payroll, you are staff. They're the star of the show. You need to know when to speak, when not to speak, because they are the star and they want to make sure that you know that you're working for them and not the other way around. And also it's hard for some of them. I know when I did the reunion the year before, you've got someone like Christopher Buckle who was on set. You know, he's huge.
Who was he doing makeup for?
He was doing Bethany. So he does Mariah.
He does
Christina.
Yeah.
He's like an...
What was he doing in New York doing Bethany?
So he was...
Isn't he based in Vegas or LA?
He's based here.
Yeah.
But he's in LA and in Vegas. So to be working alongside someone like him, who I would say is like an iconic up there makeup artist, it was really kind of breathtaking to see that he's there. The reality stars are there. It's just, it's fun to look at and to watch. Mm. It's fun to see how the reality stars treat their makeup artists. You become very close to them, and they definitely become very territorial about who does them, and they don't always like sharing.
And I was going to ask you, do you ever see reality TV stars stealing each other's glam teams? Has this ever happened?
It actually happened. It has happened. I know other people, some people don't really care. I mean, if I was having my makeup done by someone, I wouldn't care if they were doing someone else, as long as I know that I would be priority. So if I want mine done at 6, I don't want them turning up late or suddenly switching my time just because someone else. But not all stars or reality stars, or in general, people don't always think like that. They barely think about themselves. The reality stars don't always want to share. It happened to me recently where another reality star's PA had contacted me. And I think sometimes if it's done in the correct way, if that reality star speaks to the reality other reality star who you're doing and says,
hey,
look, I'm kind of in a pickle at the moment, or I need someone to do my hair and makeup, there's a way and a politeness and kind of a business-like manner, because generally that person will say, it's sure, I don't mind you using my person. I mean, look, at the end of the day, every makeup artist is freelance. They can do what they want, who they want, when they want. So really, they shouldn't have to. But there's that respect.
And
there's also makeup artists. I was told a couple of months ago when I was on set, oh, by the way, that makeup artist gave their business card to your client the other day. So it kind of works both ways. Everyone's out for themselves.
Because you may be, and I'm not saying this is your situation, but you may be part of a show and there's a bigger star.
Exactly.
And or someone, you know, who's looking gorgeous and you're thinking, I should be doing this person rather than the other person. Like, I'm sure it crosses the mind of a lot of glam teams.
Exactly. And it can be that that celebrity or that person can see someone and be like, oh, I like their hair and makeup. And before you know it, around the houses, they've kind of contacted you, or their PA will reach out, or you'll get a DM. So it's really, you just have to really know how to play it on their side and on your side, because you could really be messing with fire if you try and take two of them on and one of them doesn't know about it. So you just have to really think about...
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, and I have to admit that I had to brush on my Housewives before you arrived, because I don't watch the show that often. I may binge watch it, you know, once every 6 months and watch all the episodes, but a few will fast forward drama scenes.
Yeah.
But question is, there's so many dramas happening, and over the seasons we've never seen really a drama about the glam teams, and I'm sure this happens, but this is not played on.
You might hear a little bit coming up this season in Housewives of New York. I don't know whether it will make it.
Okay.
And I know last season there was one person who, when on each season of these kind of reality shows, they generally do a cast trip away. So it could be they're all based in, I don't know, whatever country they are, and they go on the cast trip to Bermuda or they go to Dubai. And if that reality star decides to take their glam squad with them, then that's they're paying out for it themselves.
But really?
So they are.
The reality star will have to
pay for their flight and pay for their hair and makeup based on whatever their daily rate is.
Right. Okay.
So you have to think sometimes there could be six people in the cast. One woman has said, I want hair and makeup. So that's up to her if she's decided out of her own money to pay for it. But what that then does is that can annoy the other women because one woman can be looking off the chart amazing and the other women are scrambling around to do their own.
Yeah.
So it can really ruffle feathers. Mm. And I know last season, I'll say it anyway. Last season when Tinsley took her glam squad with her to Cartagena, there was definitely feathers ruffled within the in the clan, shall we say.
Crazy.
And I think that really comes down to... I actually do. I think it's a jealousy.
Yeah.
No one would ever admit it. No one would ever say, they'll say, oh, it's ridiculous. She's having hair and makeup to come to breakfast. Well, you know what? As a guy, I'd want hair and makeup if I'm coming to breakfast. And if that show's going out to 4 million people a week, I don't want to look like I've been dragged along gravel or look like I've just slept for 12 hours, woke up with a hangover. My hair's like, you know, Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons. And then I've just rocked up. Of course I want to make sure my skin looks good. So why not if you can afford it? Erica Jane does it on Beverly Hills.
I was going to say there was this episode that I watched and they were all in Dubai.
Yes.
And she flew not only the hair and makeup, but the stylist was there.
Absolutely.
And Erica Jane shows up with all those kaftans, elaborate hair extension and
do yes.
And as if she was going to take the Vegas scene somewhere.
Exactly. You know what? She does it. Kim Kardashian does it. I mean, why not? If you can afford to do it and if you're savvy enough to do it. Look, there's some people that say, oh, I'm not bothered about it. But I always say, with regard to reality TV, you have your tongue because there's no talent. I've said it before. There's no discipline. There's no talent of an actress, a model, blah, 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 or any kind of training. You have your tongue and that's your tool and how you look. So if your hair and makeup looks amazing, you have to be businesslike about it because that can get you other work after the show. It can get you beauty deals. So like Erica Jane did something with Beauty Blender.
Right.
She's got this shoe line with another company. You know, why not?
She's always very polished.
Exactly.
She's
polished.
Beautiful.
And
yeah.
If I was doing a show, I'd want it as well. Yeah. I wouldn't want to look like Frankenstein's kind of, you know. Relative.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, I have another question for you. There's a lot of drama, and that's probably one of the reasons I can't really watch it, because I run a business, and I want my team to exist in peace. Mm-hmm. And what I do all day is sort out dramas and make sure we don't have dramas. So I cannot, on my free time, be watching other people's dramas.
Okay.
So are these women that dramatic in their regular lives, or is this mostly a forced situation so people are interested in the drama and they go and watch it? Because there's just, and I remember the first few seasons, there wasn't that much drama, but as the seasons go on, it's about 80% drama and 20% regular action. What is going
on? So I think most of them in their everyday life, they're, if we're talking percent-wise, I'm sure they have 50% drama going on.
Okay.
When I'm around...
So they're natural with the drama.
They're pretty
dramatic. Okay.
Most of them. Mm. Look, I've been lucky with Caroline and Dorinda. They're pretty down to earth. But I see the other women, and on this show, on other shows, and when I've worked on other reunions, and I think they're at a 50%. Mm. But I think the reason that so many people tune in and they want the drama is, one, I think it excites them. But I think it also makes you feel about your own dramas going on, that yours are not quite as bad as what theirs
that
are.
That is true, actually.
So
yeah.
I don't watch it as much probably as what I used to because of working in it. But I think people love it and it makes you think, maybe my life's not quite so crazy and manic after all. as what she is when she's flipping a table or,
yeah,
you know, screaming at someone because she didn't turn up at the baby shower or whatever, it, you know, the scenario is.
Crazy but, stuff.
No, I think they've all got to have a little bit of, like, Poco Loco in them somewhere
to be on that show.
And also, you know, you have to think of it this way. These women are being paid to do a job. If you're watching it, no one wants to sit and watch paint dry. So you've got to bring something to the table. So if you don't, if you're just a yes person, a no person, you see those people last one season on the show because it's boring to watch.
Yeah, that's true. Like if you don't have a lot of other activities to discuss and showcase, you need your
and
drama.
And sometimes, sometimes on the reality shows, on across the board of all of them, they want to be on it and they want to be the drama, but they don't always want the drama to be about them, or they don't want to. They don't want the TV crew and company to kind of really know the drama of what's really going on. So what these reality stars do is they kind of start to kind of produce their own stories, but the audience sees through it. They see through it when people lie about things. There's always that saying, they can't edit anything you didn't say or do. So
that
you always,
yeah.
you know, you when women watch it back and go, oh, I can't believe the way I was edited this season. It's like that was you.
But you've said that.
That was you. You said it. They didn't. It's not like a cartoon where
crazy.
They're or drawings or actors. That was you. You said it. So you might regret saying it. And then you'll see these people on some of the shows denying they ever said it. Yet there's like 15 seconds of them saying, she was a liar. I can't believe she said that about me. She's going to hell. And then the next episode, this person will be like, I would never have said she's going to hell. And it's like, well, we saw it on camera.
Crazy.
Are you mental?
So let's just move to makeup now.
Yes, this is the juicy bit.
Yeah, let's do the juicy bit. So when you do Dorinda's makeup,
yeah.
do you follow a certain look that you think suits her? Do you get direction from her or do you get direction from the show?
So with regard to her daily makeup, Dorinda doesn't like always to have her makeup done in the day. If she's okay. doing a walk in the park, she's good. And obviously, yeah, in a way, it probably loses me work saying it, but she feels that she's doing a reality show and she wants to be real.
Okay.
She said, I don't wake up with lashes on. I don't wake up and suddenly put a full face of makeup on and a smoky eye. There's other characters that I know on the show do it, and there's other reality shows that do it as well on camera. So she tends to more do makeup for bigger events,
okay.
and she's pretty good at putting her outfits together, and she's very open-minded for you to say, hey, what about this lip? What about that? She's not someone that sits with a mirror and analyzes every movement. Once you've done someone for a while, the Caroline got the same as well. You start to find that kind of style that suits them. And Dorinda's definitely this season, like she's suiting those like caramelly, that kind of, you know how Kris Jenner has always that lovely kind of nudie lip, that bronzy caramelly.
Yeah.
And Dorinda's got these amazing blue eyes. So as soon as you put anything bronzy, caramelly, brownie, bronze goddessy around it, it makes everything pop. And she's got blonde hair as well. So, you know, has she tried the bright lips and the pinky cheeks? But I really feel that she's better with the more muted tones. And if I'm honest, I really think anyone after the age of probably 50 suits those type of tones more, the more natural, the peachy, nudie pinks, the dusky pinks.
So, and I was going to ask you, this brings us to our next question. So for someone in their 40s, 50s plus, do you suggest they go with a natural look when it comes to makeup? What are some of the tips that would give for older women when they do their makeup?
So I think makeup is so bespoke and it's so custom and individual to each person. What one person wants or suits a smoky eye, the next woman suits just dewy skin, a lip, and, you know, maybe a gloss, and she's good. I just think it's very personal. It's like when we go and buy a perfume. You either like it, and everyone knows what they like with a perfume. Someone wants musky, someone wants floral. If someone's worn, I don't know, Estee Lauder Beautiful for 20 years, and they know that that's their signature, then that's what they wear. With makeup, sometimes women, I would say, once we get to that 45, 50, maybe even 40, we can get stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. It's like we want the same, they'll go the same hairdresser, you use the same colors. And as we get older, any of us, men included, I always think women with hair and with makeup, you just need to soften it up a bit. It's always
so move
worth,
away from black liner, move, maybe, and do more I do, brown.
I always think for daytime, like, move away from the harsh, the black mascaras, the black eyeliners, the heavy, those darker colors. Like, think of something one or two, three shades lighter than your evening look. Going back to basics, foundation, go for a more dewier foundation. That tends to give you more life. You don't want to be wearing, if you put something like a full coverage, I don't know, let's just say, for example, an Estee Lauder, double wear, full coverage all over your face, that's really going to age you before you've begun. And I see a lot of the, even, I know we're talking about makeup for anyone who's kind of 40, 50 plus, I see a lot of the YouTubers and the influencers, everything's full coverage. And it really doesn't, I don't know if you've seen that
as
well.
These are young girls though.
They're
18, 20.
And they don't need it.
They don't need it. And it's layers and layers, 3, 4, 5 layers. And maybe it looks good for someone who's young and wants to take a selfie and wants to give like this perfect look for the pictures. But the question is, how does that translate for an older woman?
So I just think for an older woman, you want to look fresh. I always just think, most women, when you're doing their makeup, especially for daytime, they want to look like a better version of themselves. Mm. They want to look fresh. They want that youthful glow.
So go for something more sheer.
Go for a tinted moisturizer. Look, you can pick them up at most drugstores. If you want to go lower end, you can go higher end. Once you're 40 plus.
A concealer.
Go for something that's like a moisturizing concealer, because then it won't sit in the cracks so much. There's a few brands that do the pot ones that some people are fans of. I always think good foundation, don't go too light in your foundation. When we get past the age of 45, 50, we start to lose the pinky tone. So, you know, I always think to like have a foundation that's maybe one or two tones, just a little bit dark.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Darker than your skin color. A concealer going the opposite way, I'd go one or two tones lighter than your skin color.
Okay.
And once that's buffed in, and then with regard to blusher, some people like the cream blushers. I personally have always preferred powder to tap the brush on the back of your hand once you've dipped the makeup brush in the powder. But go for those nudie, peachy and pinky tones.
Mm.
If you stick with those natural light ones, it will make you look younger.
Mm.
And if you've got the browns, think about making it more smudgy rather than harsh lines. Unless you're going for like a winged out liner where, of course, you want that strong feline looking flick. Make sure everything's going upwards. And when I say going upwards, I mean as in if you're putting your blusher on, put it on the top, kind of top of the apple of the cheek area. If you're doing eyeshadow, make sure your eyes aren't being dragged down. If you're a lady who then wants to put a set of lashes on, make sure the lashes on the outside, make sure they're not pulling your eyes down. Like myself and, you know, some of my clients, Caroline included, we've got quite a European eye. Mine particularly, and you can look on my Instagram, I'm quite hooded in my eye area. So when you're putting a lash on, think about lashes that are a little bit more wispy and that aren't really long and dense on the ends, because what that'll do is drag your face down. So when, you know, just a little tip with the lashes, when you put the lashes, before you put them on, just measure them, and maybe you need to trim them just like, you know, a couple of millimeters or a centimeter. And yeah, and like I say, keep it lifted up, but don't powder all over as well. That's another tip. If you're not a fan of being, and I know I've talked about sheer foundation, you've gone for more of a matte foundation, try and not powder all over. Try and keep under the eye area and across the top of the cheekbones, even if you don't put a highlighter on, try and not powder that area, because then it'll stay more moisturized. And as the day goes on, the rest of the face, it'll be more balanced.
Mm.
If you're one of those women that puts powder all over your nose, under your eyes, you then have that real old lady look, which you're kind of adding age.
Mm.
But generally, I think, you know, you can really do your face in five products. Foundation, concealer, blusher, mascara, and a lipstick or a lip gloss. I really think that's enough.
Yeah, you don't need a lot.
You don't really need a lot.
Not overdo it. And as you say, use soft colors. I think the brows are also very important. Brows, you know, for people who over pluck them, like myself, I just have to
help them,
enhance them, draw them. And I do think that a drawn out brow can take off 10 years.
There's so many amazing products as well with the brows now, where there's like little felt tips, they look like, with little, like there'll be four or five of them, and you just draw little strokes, and it really looks naturally like brows that you're lines that you're drawing on. The brows and your hair shape your face, so you really have to think about, you know, your brows and hair as starting off as a blank canvas for that to be the beginning. Because if you've got a round face and then you've gone for a bobbed hair, then you're making your face look bigger than it is anyway. So really, you know, think about that. And you can Google what hairstyles suit certain face shapes. And eyebrows now, you want to make sure that you're going a tone or two lighter than your hair color. If you go too dark, you'll end up just looking like an angry bird. So always start in the center, above the nose, in the center of the eyes. Think about a lighter color, and then towards the end of the eyebrow being more defined.
There's a saying as well,
your makeup is only as good as the light you do it in. That is one of my top tips. Do makeup in bright daylight or a bright light. Don't think, oh, I'll do it in the bathroom and there's overhead lighting, down lighting. Put your makeup mirror by a window, because if your makeup looks great in that daylight, it will look great when you walk out on the street.
And there's those mirrors that have the light with them, the magnifying mirrors. I got one, and it's actually really cool.
And they're really reasonable. Yeah. I think some of them in America, they're like $20-$25.
Yeah, they're not expensive.
And the same in UK, you can get them now.
It makes a huge difference. It's magnifying, so you can see closer, and
there's the whole light
around it.
Like the daylight type light around it.
Which is really good. So, yeah, these are some great tips, which I'm sure our
Hopefully
audience
helping.
Will enjoy.
Look, it's like I always think with makeup, we're not reinventing the wheel. It's just taking it back to basics and things like doing your makeup in a bright light, not overdoing like a lip liner, going with the softer colors.
Yeah. And I feel there's a lot that you can do to make yourself look younger in terms of updating your makeup, updating your hair, the way you dress, the way you style yourself. And it's not all about plastic surgery, because I think there's this misconception that everyone needs plastic surgery out there to look younger, but there's other things that can age you. And going into plastic surgery, I mean, that's a big subject with the housewives.
Where do we even start?
I mean, it's kind of interesting. There's some of those housewives that they look very different every year. Very, very different.
Well, this goes, and you know, from, I don't know, whether it be the London scene, America scene as well, people tend to go to one person, they do something great, and then they find out, or they've read that someone else went somewhere else, so they'll try that person. And that person will then say, oh, you need a little bit more filler in your cheeks. Then they'll go to the next person. What about doing something in your chin? So then they'll do their chin. And then before you know it, 3 or 4 years, they've possibly been maybe to 6 or 8 different people.
Are you serious? I mean, this is
honestly,
for real.
Yeah.
But and like, courses, they wouldn't know what the previous person has done or
but that's
injected.
It. That
can be dangerous, right?
Well, that's the thing of it. So, you know, I've seen women that have gone to one person, they've done their cheekbones, they've maybe had their jaws squared a little bit more, maybe a bit of filler in their chin. And then the next person they've gone to has said, I think we could maybe do your lips a bit. So then they do their lips, and then maybe they do their tear troughs. So what started out for them to just look a fresher, more updated version, then they're starting to morph into something else or someone else.
Crazy. So, and they end up looking not even younger, they just look unreal.
I think there's a lot of that now. I'll be honest.
Not just the housewives. I mean, housewives, because we watch the shows and you can see this, and you can see those women with in a close-up situation. But yeah, it does happen a lot.
Look, I'll tell you, I'm not going to say what show it was on, but there was once a green screen, and it wasn't in a so long ago. And the green screen are like the confessional interviews.
Is that what it's called?
So it's a green screen. So I don't know. I suppose most of the people who are listening will understand it from like a confessional interview. And the person who had got there was on screen, and I'd just arrived with my client for whatever it was we were doing. And I looked at the screen and I said to one of the producers, what has that woman done to her face? She must have gone a few days before. And when you have Botox or if you have fillers, some people will bruise more than others. And I don't know whether the filler had kind of clumped in these 2 or 3 areas. But as soon as I pointed it out, I know the producers went in and said to the other makeup artists, you need to cover it up. So they paused filming. She looked very different. Anyway, it's coming to a screen near you, and you'll probably be able to see it soon. There you
Craziness.
Go.
Craziness. So you've seen it all. And especially as a makeup artist, when you're so close to someone's face, and I'm not talking about your client, but you've done makeup for a lot of people, you can feel what's going on, right?
Last time I didn't
feel that, but now I'm feeling it.
You can always feel the filler. You can always feel the filler in the lips, under the eyes, and it's... Again, you can't be invasive and ask, did you get filler? Some people will tell you. Some people will make out. I know one person that said it's from, I get it from my father. It's from my father. He's got blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. It's because you've been to that nurse down the road and she put some filler in your lips. But if you want me to believe that it was from your dad or from your mother's father, you go ahead, honey. Just send me my money. You can tell me that the Care Bears did it for you, or the Flower Fairies did it. I don't mind.
That is crazy. So, look, as a makeup artist, what was the craziest situation that you have ever faced? So let's say you've gone to do a client's makeup, reality star or not, it doesn't even matter. Have you encountered a crazy situation? You were at someone's home and something crazy happened and you were involved
I'd say
or anything?
The crazy, two crazy situations. When I say crazy, one crazy situation that always happens when you're on set, if it's like a video, and we'll say a video, like maybe a music video or something, and the shoot could start at 6 a.m. and you've got until 6 p.m. and you may have six makeup changes throughout the day. Because that person, it's always, I mean, and when I say that's not so crazy, but that's a challenge in itself for a makeup artist to go from one look to another. And obviously you need to take it completely off to start again. Once you see that music video or whatever it be, or a TV advert, no one's going to be thinking, oh, wow, she did six makeup changes. We just think and sit and watch it as though it was all done on the same day. The one thing that I'd say is the craziest, and this goes for reality stars, music stars, is once you've done their makeup and everything's glowing and you've done the best that you can, you turned up on time, everyone's happy with the makeup, and the celebrity or whoever, reality star, decides they're going to have like a personal breakdown of, they don't know the script, they don't like the song, they don't like something, they hate their outfit. So what do? They cry. So all of your work.
Oh my God.
So that's always the craziest.
Crazy.
I used to work in England for like a five girl band. Uh-huh. It wasn't the Spice Girls, it was another one called the Saturdays. And I'll be honest, I guarantee on set, you know, tensions are high, you've got to deliver on set, you've got to learn your words, you've got to know it. You could do their makeup and one's not feeling great about herself that day, or she's had a little bit of anxiety about something, whatever it be. She broke up with her boyfriend, something. She'd be blarting in the toilets. And of course, there's four of the girls that are ready and waiting, and she, you know, tears are running. And it's like, you have to redo them. It's not like,
oh my God, yeah, because the makeup's melting. They're probably rubbing their eyes. The eye makeup's gone. And it's just like you have to do it from scratch.
And when you're having like a mini breakdown yourself, you don't think, oh my God, my eyeliner's running. You're in the moment of, oh my God, my boyfriend, and I can't believe that. It's not, oh my God, this makeup artist has just spent an hour and a half gluing, I don't know, Swarovski crystals along an eye line. They don't care at that point. So that for me is definitely always the craziest.
Now, there's times that the relationship between a makeup artist and their client is very close, to the point that the client feels very comfortable about asking the makeup artist to do different things, like book travel or call up and make table reservations somewhere.
Sure.
Have you ever been in a situation that you became so close with a client that they've started asking you to do other things outside makeup? And how did you deal with it?
So Dorinda is a control freak, which is a good thing. She likes to do everything herself. She's very organized. I would say the one that I came closest to doing kind of PA stuff for was Caroline Stanbury. And the only way I could describe it, she was the puppet and I was like the puppeteer. So she would be asleep in bed. I'd have to run her bath. I'd have to book table reservations if we're in LA. She would really be like a toddler that I'd be dragging around. But because I'm normally so on it with those kind of things, she knows that the car will be there. I'd make sure the driver would know the TV studio we're going to. And to be honest, with that type of situation, it's easier for me to just do it rather than get in the car and see her have it like a meltdown because she's forgot the email or she can't find it. So I'd always get her PA at the beginning of the trip to send me the whole schedule, everyone's contact names, what reservations were made. So Caroline definitely, she's always had help as well. And when I say she's had help, she's kind of grown up with like white glove service. So she's not used to doing everything for herself.
What's your sign? Because you sound very diplomatic about things.
Pisces.
Oh, you're
what
Pisces?
What star sign are you?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, you're Taurus.
I'm a Taurus.
So my mom's Taurus, so it's like they're fairly stubborn, like bull in a china shop.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Did you know that, Maria?
I know, but I'm very chilled as well. I have my ascendant is
what's your rising sign?
Libra.
Oh, Libra.
So I'm quite balanced like that.
I don't know what my rising
sign is. So you're Pisces. So that's why you're very diplomatic about everything you do.
Well, I just think, you know what? When you're working for any like celebrity, whoever it be, there's already enough kind of chaos and you need to be the calming kind of person.
I kind of agree with you that if you're there and you support the client and... potentially not on the day-to-day that you go and see them for an hour, then you leave. But if you're on a trip with them and you can be of assistance, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
No.
To say, I'm here to help. You know, we've done the makeup. I can help out in whatever way you want. I think that's the right thing to do.
Well, I am a control freak as well, and it's hard. Yeah. And this is why I didn't suit working on fashion like shoots, as in,
you know, the Vogue. Very, very different.
Because when you're on that type of shoot, you know, you've got the photographer, the makeup, the hair, the stylist. I can't bear being on a shoot. Say, take Dorinda, for example. If we were on a shoot, I'll get on the floor. I'll be fake tanning her legs, or I'll be putting some, you know, shimmer on. I'll get on the floor to help her put her shoes on. I'll be zipping her into her dress. I really don't care. Once I'm there, I'm like all in. Like, if you need me to pack up your kit. Some people aren't like that. I just think that maybe comes from like training in the past that I'm there anyway, so I might as well just do it. And sometimes it's just easier.
Mm. Have you ever walked out of a job and left a client and said, I'm done?
I've never walked out of a job, but there's definitely been, I can think of two clients who I wouldn't go back to and I didn't go back to.
But you finished that job and then you said,
I definitely finished it because I don't think I just couldn't do that to
it's
someone.
It's not your personality.
I wouldn't. You know, I've been at someone's and they've given me their products to use, which is fine. I didn't really like them, and then the next minute they're moaning because they don't like that product that's on their face, and I'm like, well, you gave it me, and there's definitely two people I can think of. There was one girl I did something for, and the management team had said to me, they knew she was a nightmare. And they said to me, we know that you won't kind of stand for it. And I saw her going into the bathroom with her makeup bag. And she went, I'm just going to the bathroom. And I shouted at her and I said, don't you dare touch any of that makeup on your face. Give me your makeup bag. So I went and snatched her makeup bag out of her hand. And then she was like, no, I won't. I said, well, that's good. Why are you taking your makeup bag then? And so I did that. But yeah, with that one girl, I didn't go back again. She actually sat there the second time I did her. And actually, she shot herself in the foot because she sat there and she said, who's the worst client you've ever done? And I looked at her face and thought, you. And I didn't say
it
to
her.
I didn't say
it
to her. No, and I wouldn't have done.
But your look must have given it away.
I said, oh, I don't know. I really can't think. But I
looked.
But that was, as soon as she asked that question, I thought, you are. And I thought, I'm never doing you again. And I never did. And the other person who was also a bit of a nightmare, and someone else, there's three people. One person I chose just not to go back. And luckily, she didn't really call me again because I think she knew. And there was two others. They rang me a few times afterwards and I just said, oh, I'm busy. And in the end, they got the kind of
message.
Because there was no point in me saying, it didn't work out, I didn't like you, because then you're really stooping to a level that's, it's just easier to say, oh, I'm not available then. And by the third time, they're not calling you again. It's a bit like asking someone to go out on a date. You ask them once, if they say no, you ask them twice. They say no three times, they don't want to go on a date with you.
Yeah, just accept it.
Accept it
and move on to another makeup artist.
And they will. There's plenty of us out there. There's plenty of work to go around for everyone. So you'll find someone else to cope with your dramas and your ways.
Exactly. Shall we talk a little bit about your projects now?
You can.
You've worked on a couple of projects. Tell us about them.
So when I finished Ladies of London, I started a product line on HSN, which is like QVC in America. It's a huge platform. And I think when anyone goes onto a QVC or HSN, you automatically think overnight. I don't know if you have your products on either of them.
Yeah, we've worked in the past with QVC. And, you know, you learn a lot. And,
you do.
But I'd love to hear your experience.
They're great business models. But with anything now, and I think this is for anyone that's listening, just to suddenly bring out a mascara or something and suddenly think overnight, even if you have, I know a brand recently that, you know, got over 700,000 people following them, doing products. It's not an instant hit overnight just because you've done them now. Mm. I think the market now, as well as makeup artists and hair people, there's a lot more of us now. There's a lot of self-taught people. There's so many as we go onto Instagram, think about all the adverts that pop up. Everyone that's posting something, advertising, drink this shake, it will make your stomach flat. open this box of products, look at this. It's so oversaturated now that I think we've become a little bit immune to it. So I don't even know if we look at them now as much as we did. And I don't think to suddenly just, I thought going on to HSN suddenly overnight would make me a millionaire. Well, it didn't, because you really have to have a long-term plan and you really do need that investment behind you. You need that investment. You need that the marketing tools. You need to be in with the right beauty directors who will push you forward, the right great PR. It's a whole thing now.
You need to be doing kits.
Exactly.
Every season, and you need the best spot, and you need to be there all the time. I think there's a misconception that you go on QVC and you're an instant millionaire. No.
You know, it's not easy. 100%
no, it's not easy. It's a business, you know, to get to that point. You need to grow for even 5 years.
Totally.
It's not something that happens overnight. So it's kind of interesting that you've experienced that, because I think people talk and say, oh, you know, put your products on QVC or HSN and you're going to be selling millions. And it's just not the case.
What I try and do with most things, even the negative, turn it into a positive. So yes, the negative of that, did it turn into the huge success? No, but what it did was it took me down a path of learning with the company who I'm now employed by, as well as a consultant, is to make product. And what that has done, rather than, I don't have an ego, I didn't even want particularly my name on my products, but when it's your own, you're always, oh, it's people know you, put your name on it. But what it's led me to now, it's led me down another path to make beauty products, accessories, color lines for companies that don't have them. So if it's a beauty label that don't have accessories, then I'm really with the company who I work for, delving into their DNA of that company, why they started, what their audience, who's their customer, what has worked for them in the past, accessory wise, what hasn't. So it's taught me that. So I have as much excitement to do that for other brands and to help build them as what I did my own. And I'm loving doing that. So it's basically like private label. Companies come to us that are already out there. Companies you know already. So the company I'm working for is Verge Creative. And they're amazing. We specialize in anything from cosmetic bags to GWP. So if you went to Harrods or Bergdorf's or somewhere and you spend $100, you get a choice of a tote or whatever it be. Seasonally, and they change. We do private label for color. That's a huge area that people are interested in now.
It's kind of it's a great lesson to sort of, you know, give to everyone listening, that you went through a stage that started a venture where you learned from, but it wasn't what you ended up doing. And it's everything that we do in life. And that kind of relates back to the overnight success title of the podcast, which there's nothing like an overnight success. We need to be saying yes to opportunities and get ourselves into, and that can lead to something else.
And that's why I always say to people, with exactly what you've just said, Maria, say yes to everything. If you're an aspiring makeup artist, say yes to assisting that person, clean their kit, do it. Everything you get asked to do, whether it's a photo shoot, whether it's to work for a client, maybe a client you love, a client you don't, everything's like a learning curve. So in that experience, you know, that model wasn't great for me, but it's taken me down this amazing route now where I'm creating product for huge brands that have hundreds of stores, and they're asking me what shapes work, what cosmetic bags work. Well, I know because I've worked with them and they've been in and out of my kit for the last 12 years. So if I don't know, who does know? So no, that's like a really exciting part. But exactly like you said, everything that you kind of fail or doesn't work out the way you wanted it to, you learn from it and like flip it on its head
100%.
And turn it into a positive.
Yeah,
100%. I don't want to sound like some like happy, clappy, you know, positive Pamela that's just come back from a retreat or something or some talk. But yeah, I really believe that, you know, every single, you know, if you're out there and you're doing makeup, if you're assisting someone that's very harsh, like think about everything that you're learning from them, from being on set with them. If you're stood there holding brushes, use it. Watch every single thing they're doing. Copy what they're doing.
It's which is always say yes to opportunities. And we actually have a whole episode on how saying yes can lead you to success. But to wrap this up, I'd love to hear your advice for any budding makeup artists out there who want to make it into the celebrity world.
Right.
What does it take to get into the celebrity makeup artistry?
Look, beauty sells beauty. Make sure you're always turned out well. Make sure your clothes are clean. Make sure your brushes are clean. Make sure your kit's tidy. No one wants anyone doing anything for them. Beauty sells beauty. If you know you've got to get up an hour early to make yourself look brighter, fresher, to turn up to that job, be respectful. If you're going to do makeup at someone's house, always offer to take your shoes off. Don't ask too many questions. Don't be invasive. There's always that thing, it's like a child, speak to when you're spoken to. Ask lots of questions. Say yes to every job. Write letters to any makeup artist you see out there that you think you could learn from. If you're in the town, I don't know, on the outskirts of somewhere, or there doesn't seem like there's TV studios, or you don't feel like there's celebrities, Google photography places. There's always someone out there. Local photographers that need wedding makeup. All those things, you'll learn something. Say yes to everything. Always be respectful. And yeah, I think that's mainly
that,
it.
That was a lot. That was more than three. That was that was
55.
Amazing.
So,
well, look, that was...
I hope I've helped someone out there.
It was amazing. I think a lot of young makeup artists will be very
much inspired. Last one as well.
Yeah,
I remembered.
Okay,
I knew there was
one. Yeah.
Always be discreet. If someone tells you something, don't tell anyone. Because when we do makeup and hair, it's like going to the hairdressers. They'll tell you about holidays, girlfriends, boyfriends, loves, lives, money. Be discreet. Because the business is small and people talk. And what you might say to someone can always get back. So that is it. Celebrities and clients, as you know, they always want loyalty. And loyalty comes with that discretion. It's a two-way street. And yeah, I definitely think if you can be discreet and they know that they can trust you, that's another thing. Anyway.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, you have been amazing.
I talked way too much.
I think our listeners will love this podcast.
I hope so, guys. Thank you
so much for your time.
If you like the Overnight Success Podcast, please make sure you tell a friend, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to leave us a rating or comment. You can find me at Mrs. Rodia on Twitter and Instagram. This is the Overnight Success Podcast. I am Maria Hatzistefanis. See you next week.